You're listening to ESL Podcasts English Cafe, number 187. This is ESL Podcast's English Cafe, episode 187. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Our website is eslpod.com. On it, you can visit our ESL Podcast store, which has some additional courses in business and daily English that I think you will enjoy. You can also download the learning guide for this episode and every one of our current episodes. The learning guide contains lots of additional information, including a complete transcript of this episode, vocabulary words, definitions, sample sentences, cultural notes, and a comprehension quiz on what you're listening to now. On this cafe, we're going to have another one of our Ask an American segments, where we listen to other native speakers talking at a normal rate of speech, a normal speed. We're going to listen to them and explain what they are talking about. Today, we're going to listen to teenagers from other countries who have studied in the United States through student exchange programs. As always, we'll also answer a few of your questions. Let's get started. Our topic on this cafe's Ask an American segment is exchange programs, student exchange programs, where people go to another country to live with a family and to go to school there, usually for 1 year. These are usually high school students. Sometimes the exchange between one country and the other is a little shorter than a year, but the typical exchange is a one-year program. Sometimes the child of one family goes and lives in the house of the family of someone from another country, and then they come back and live in their house. Sometimes the families just volunteer to have students in their house and going to their local school for a year. We're going to listen to several students who have studied in the U.S. and what their experience has been. This will be a good opportunity for us to hear different accents, non-native accents in English. Their English is pretty good. There are a few mistakes here and there, but for the most part, they are quite good in terms of their English speaking. So we'll listen to their experiences. We're going to start with a 17-year-old girl from India. She studied in Atlanta, Georgia, which is in the southeast part of the United States. We'll listen first to her quote talking about what she learned spending a year in the United States, and then we'll go back and explain what she said. Let's listen.
It was amazing, I think, for me to test my limits, to know how far I can go. I have gotten to reflect on myself this year. I've gotten to know myself better, my strengths, my weaknesses.
She begins by saying that the experience was amazing or very positive and good. She says she was able to test her limits and know how far she can go. The phrase to test one's limits means to know how much you can do. A limit is the maximum amount of something. If I go running, 40 minutes may be my limit. It's the most I can do. I don't run that much anymore. Actually, I never ran that much. It's just an example. Sometimes we don't know our limits, but having an unusual experience can certainly test your limits or make us do things that we didn't even think we could do. To challenge yourself would be another way of saying this idea of testing your limits. That's what the student exchange program did for this young woman. She says that she has gotten the opportunity, she has had the opportunity to reflect on herself or think about herself this year. She said she got to know herself better, including her strengths or what she does well, and her weaknesses or what she does poorly. Let's listen again.
It was amazing, I think, for me to test my limits, to know how far I can go. I have gotten to reflect on myself this year. I've gotten to know myself better, my strengths, my weaknesses.
The next woman we're going to listen to, young woman, is also from India, who studied in the U.S. Her accent is a little more non-American. She's going to talk about the classes that she took and the things that she did in her classes here in the U.S. Let's listen.
I took all different kinds of classes like photography and TV production and drawing and painting, and we got to do a lot of projects and research. We got to present our research in different ways.
This girl, Nikita, says that she took many different kinds of classes. American high schools, many of them offer many different kinds of classes, especially the bigger schools, schools with 1,000, 2,000, maybe 3,000 students in it. Nikita took photography and TV production. Photography is a class where you learn how to use a camera. TV production means making television shows. In a class on TV production, you might learn how to write dialogue for characters, use lighting and cameras to record your show, use different video editing software to make things look good. You may also learn to add music to your show. Maybe if I had taken a class in TV production, we wouldn't have had that problem with the third anniversary video where some of you didn't see Lucy's face. I never took a class in TV production, unfortunately. But they did not have any classes in TV production at my school. It was before television had been invented. Nikita also says she took classes in drawing and painting, and that she was able to do a lot of projects and research. A project in school is any sort of task that usually requires that you do several things on your own, things that you get together to present or to show the class or the teacher. She says that she and the other students were able to present or share their research in different ways. This is a big emphasis in many American high schools, teaching students how to make presentations, how to give the information that they've learned to other people, how to communicate that effectively. Let's listen to Nikita again.
I took all different kinds of classes like photography and TV production and drawing and painting, and we got to do a lot of projects and research. We got to present our research in different ways.
Next, we're going to listen to David, a boy from Indonesia, who also had some new and interesting experiences during his student exchange program. He's going to talk about some of the activities that he participated in at his school. These are activities outside of the main classes, what we would call extracurricular activities. Let's listen.
I joined wrestling here, and that's like something I've never really done it before. I joined choir, and then we went to Florida for a spring concert.
David says, I joined wrestling here. Wrestling is a sport where two people, usually two boys or two men, fight each other by using their arms and the rest of their bodies. They try to make it so that the other person cannot stand up and has to fall to the ground. The wrestling that is done in the U.S. is sometimes called Greco-Roman wrestling, from the idea that it came from the ancient world originally, this sport. David joined the high school's wrestling team, which was something he had never done before. In most American schools, you have different sports teams that play games against other schools, competitions. David also says he joined a choir, which is a group of people who sing together. Most American schools have at least one choir, and sometimes people continue to sing in choirs at their church or other places in their community, even after they finished high school. David says that in the spring, his school choir went to Florida for a concert or a performance where they sang in front of other people. Some high schools send their students on trips for these activities, and this is an example. Let's listen to David's quote one more time.
I joined wrestling here, and that's like something I've never really done it before. I joined choir, and then we went to Florida for a spring concert.
The next student we'll listen to is Hussein, who is also from Indonesia. He studied in the state of Pennsylvania, which is in the northeast part of the United States. His host mother, or the mother of the family where he was living, had been in the U.S. military in Iraq, and Hussein was worried about how his host mother would react to him, being a Muslim. Hussein's English is a little more difficult to understand, and he makes a few small errors. Let's first listen to what he has to say, and then we'll talk about it.
She was in Iraq for 1 year. I mean, it's like, first time I came down here, I think it's like, it's weird because my first name, Hussein, I think that it's going to be something wrong, but first time come down there, and she talked nicely to me, and then she said she want to host me because she has been in Iraq, and then she want to learn more about my culture and then my religion.
Hussein begins by saying that she, his host mother, was in Iraq for 1 year. Then he uses some very typical teenage expressions, especially to fill space, to fill time as you are thinking. He says, I mean, it's like, both of those are expressions that we use informally when we are trying to think of what we want to say next. He says, the first time I came down here, meaning I think he went to Pennsylvania, I thinks like it's weird. He says thinks when he really means thought. I thought it's weird, it's strange, because my first name is Hussein. Because is an informal way of saying because. So Hussein is saying that it was strange for him because his first name was Hussein. He was expecting that he might have some problems. He says, I think that it's gonna be something wrong. Meaning, I thought that it was going to cause problems. Then he says, but first time I came down, meaning the first time I came down, she talked nicely to me, and she said she want to host me because she has been in Iraq. She talked nicely to me, and she said she wanted to host me, is what Hussein means, because she has been in Iraq. And then she wanted to learn more about my culture and my religion. So she wanted, I think Hussein actually says she wanted to learn more about my culture and religion. I should mention that to host someone in this case means to have a student, an exchange student, live with you or your family during one of these programs. The verb to host can also mean to sponsor, to be the person or the place where something, some event is held. To host can also mean that you are paying for something for someone else, especially for an event or a party. At a wedding reception, the party after the wedding, it's common for the bar, the alcoholic beverages, the beer and the wine, to be hosted by the bride and groom, meaning the bride and groom pay for your beer and wine. That isn't always the case. In some weddings, they have what's called a no-host bar, meaning you have to pay for your own alcoholic beverages. So Hussein was afraid that his host mother may not like him, but it turns out that she was very interested in his religion and culture, and that was something of a surprise for him. Let's listen one more time to Hussein.
She was in Iraq for 1 year. I mean, it's like, first time I came down here, I think it's like, it's weird because my first name, Hussein, I think that it's going to be something wrong. But first time come down there and she talked nicely to me. And then she said she want to host me because she has been in Iraq. And then she want to learn more about my culture and then my religion.
Finally, we're going to listen to a student tell us about why these exchange programs are good for the future of all of our countries. Let's listen.
There's a lot of problems going on in the world. There's war, famine, drought. It's a good thing that leaders around the world know that the kids, like, who are going to take their place one day, want to have peace and unity.
The student says that there's a lot of problems going on in the world today, meaning there are a lot of problems in the world. He gives some examples. There's war, famine, drought. Famine, F-A-M-I-N-E, means that there are a large group of people in a particular place who do not have enough to eat. It's the same as starvation. Drought, D-R-O-U-G-H-T, means you have long periods of time where it doesn't rain. There isn't enough water for the people. George says that considering all the problems in the world, it's a good thing that leaders around the world know that the kids who are going to take their place one day want to have peace and unity. In this context, the phrase to take someone's place means to get someone's job. So the world leaders today will someday retire, and today's children will be tomorrow's leaders. The student thinks that it's a good thing that kids who take the place of today's world leaders want to have world peace and unity, or being all part of the same group, the same thing. Unity means having many people or countries joined together in some way, cooperating in some way. Let's listen to this quote one more time.
There's a lot of problems going on in the world. There's war, famine, drought. It's a good thing that leaders around the world know that the kids, like, who are going to take their place one day, want to have peace and unity.
Those, then, are some opinions and views of international students who have studied here in the U.S. Now let's answer a few of your questions. Our first question comes from Gustavo, G-U-S-T-A-V-O, in Uruguay. Gustavo wants to know the meaning of the expression, begs the question. Begs, B-E-G-S, the question, is an expression used to say that a statement or a claim requires more explanation because it's unclear. So when someone says something and it doesn't really answer the question, or it causes you to have more questions, then we might use this phrase, that begs the question. We also use this when someone makes a statement, someone says something that they think is true, that depends on some other assumptions, some other ideas that are doubtful, that may not be true. For example, you say that all of these houses are too small. That begs the question of how big a house has to be for you to consider it large. In other words, what is your definition of small? If you say these houses are too small, to say the house is too small begs the question. It makes you ask another question. Well, what do you mean by small? Or a certain person living in Los Angeles who is originally from Minnesota doesn't like cats. And you could say, well, he doesn't like cats, but that begs the question of why he allows his wife to have three cats in their house. That's something that is difficult to understand. This phrase, begs the question, is a little more formal. You would hear it in a formal conversation, perhaps, or in writing. Our next question is from Peter. I'm not sure where Peter is from. Let's say he's from Mars. Peter from Mars says, the face value of a ticket, what does that mean? The face value. The face value is the amount of money that you have to pay to buy a ticket, the official amount. For example, you're going to a concert by the American rocker Bruce Springsteen, and you buy a ticket, and the ticket costs $50 or $75. That's the face value of the ticket. However, you may have a friend who wants to buy that ticket for $150 or $200. So the face value is the official price. It's the price that you paid for the ticket from the company or whoever was selling the ticket. The other price is what you may have to pay, and it might be a great deal more, a lot more, if it's a valuable ticket. We usually use this expression for tickets, sometimes for money. The face value of this piece of paper is $1. It's a $1 bill. We use it for documents that represent money, things such as bonds, which is a type of financial investment. Those are the things that we tend to use this expression, face value. There's a related expression, however, which is to take something at face value. Don't take what your girlfriend says at face value. That means don't accept it as being true. Don't believe everything that she is saying to you. To take something at face value means to believe it without questioning it, without doubting it. To not take something at face value means, of course, to doubt it, to think maybe it isn't true. Finally, Naomi, N-A-O-M-I, who is also from an unknown country, let's say she's from Pluto, Naomi wants to know the difference between the expression at the time and then. At the time, or at that time, is a specific time of day or period of time when something is happening. Yesterday, Naomi said that she was in Paris. At the time, I thought she was telling the truth, meaning yesterday, when I heard that she was in Paris, I thought she was telling me the truth. Now I don't believe her. Now I know that she was actually on Pluto. Then can be used in a very similar way, however, so the differences are not great. It's more common or more natural to hear then at the end of a sentence or end of a clause. I was young then, rather than saying, then I was young. In fact, those two things mean different things. When then comes towards the beginning of the clause or sentence, it usually means the next thing that happened. I was on the train, then I got off the train and got on a bus. If you use it at the end of the sentence, it is more likely to mean the same thing here as at that time. Where were you during the 1980s? I was living in St. Paul, Minnesota then, at that time, during that time period. If you have a question or comment, you can email us. Our email address is eslpod@eslpod.com. Email us your name, country, or planet, and we'll try to answer your question here on The English Cafe. From Los Angeles, California, on planet Earth, this is Jeff McQuillan. Thank you for listening. Come back and listen to us next time, won't you, on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan and Dr. Lucy Say. Copyright 2009 by the Center for Educational Development.